All right, well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. So sometime back in April and May, we looked at the first of the three fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. And tonight we're going to look at the remaining fruits. So, I titled the teaching, More Fruits. But Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And the context for this verse are, start in verse 19, where it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And so those are the works of the flesh, right? None of them sound good, right? None of those are good things. And they're the works of the flesh. But these things that we are looking at tonight are the fruits of the Spirit, right? These are the things that come out of people who are born again, right? Because they have Holy Spirit. These are the things that the Spirit helps to work in people and are contrary to the things of the flesh listed above. And so the first thing we're going to look at is long-suffering. Long-suffering. You can go to Proverbs 15, verse 18. Proverbs 15, 18. So long-suffering in the Greek is makrothymia, and it means patience. It means patience, or a bearing up under. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. In Proverbs 15, 18, it says, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Right? And wrath and anger, those are things that are attributes of the flesh. Right? The things that we read above the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, it involves or evokes patience. Patience. And being slow to anger is patient, right? You're not easily angered. You're not easily frustrated, right? When you're patient, you can put up with a lot, right? That's what it is to be long-suffering, right? It takes a while for you to get to that point. Right? Now, the word doesn't say never be angry, right? Jesus Christ was angry. He walked into the temple and overthrew all the tables of the money changers because he was pissed that that's what they were doing in the temple of God. But it's to be slow to do it. He didn't just flip off at the handle every time something happened, right? It's a matter of being patient. There is a time for it, but it's being slow to get there. Go to James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. So as we do our best to put on a spiritual walk in our life, that will help us to be more patient. It will help us to be slow to anger. James 1, 19. Right? So if you find yourself getting easily frustrated or something like that, right, putting on the word will help with that. It'll help you build patience. James 1, 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift, that means quick, to hear, slow to what? Speak. Slow to wrath, right? So, part of being patient is that you're quick to listen, but that you're slow to speak, right? You're slow to give an opinion or judge a matter before you've really heard it, right? That's also something it says in Proverbs. that we shouldn't be quick to, you know, a person who judges a matter before he really understands it, it's shame and folly to him. Right? So we want to be quick to listen, to understand someone. Right? And that's part of being patient with someone, is to listen to them and to understand what they're going through and who they are. Right? And be slow to just judge or give an opinion without all the facts. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And again, as we walk that way, it'll help us put on those qualities of patience. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg you, implore you, that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you are called. So this is how we're supposed to walk. With all lowliness and meekness, with what? Long suffering. That's right, with patience. Forbearing one another in love. Again, it's to put up with a lot, right? To be able to bear up under. Forbearing one another in love, because people are messy, right? We're certainly not perfect. People are messy. And so it takes some patience and some love to really forbear. And here's the reason why. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. So that's the end. To what end should we be patient? To the end that we have peaceful unity, right? That we have peaceful unity. And that's what patience helps us to accomplish, is that we get along with each other, right? That we have peaceful unity. So we're to bear up under people, we're to forgive them, and it results in peaceful unity. All right, back to Galatians 5:22. You might want to put a ribbon here if you have one, or your pinky pen cap. Ephesians, or Galatians 5:22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So I'm going to kind of handle these two together. Gentleness is Christotis in the Greek. I listened to a Greek person say that, so I could say it right. Christotis. It means kindness, uprightness, and it also means useful, which I thought was kind of cool. Useful. And it also means goodness, which is funny because the next word is translated goodness. But the next word, goodness, is agathosine. Agathosine, which means active benevolence. Active benevolence. Right? That you're, and these kind of go together. They're very close in meaning. And they describe someone who not only possesses a moral goodness, which is kind of the first one, the gentleness, like a kindness and an uprightness and a usefulness, but who generously expresses it to someone else, which is sort of the second word, the active benevolence. Right? So it's somebody who is morally upright and actively expresses it towards others. So we're going to look at a couple of usages of this, of these two Greek words, to get an understanding of it. But go to Ephesians 2, verse 7. So part of our spiritual walk, part of what the Holy Spirit helps to wrought in us, is a kindness, right? And an active benevolence. And Ephesians 2, 7... this is that first word for kindness, Christotis. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, and that's the word there, kindness, toward us through Christ Jesus. Right? And the context here is that God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive, so that in all of eternity with him, he can just show us how kind he is, right? And that's the same word, kindness, right? So that kindness that God shows to us is the same word that's used in Galatians, right? So it's a true kindness, right? A true uprightness to And that's the way that we can be. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. There's Philemon's in there too. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Again, this is the same word, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So that love, that kindness that God demonstrated to give His only begotten Son, not by works that we had to do, but by what His Son accomplished, that's that kindness, right? And so that kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. That's something that we can exhibit too, is that same kind of kindness. Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. We're going to look at the agathosine, which is the goodness or active benevolence. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another, right? And that word goodness is that word agathosine, which is active benevolence. And in this, in the context here, it says that you are full of goodness, that you're full of goodness, active benevolence, filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another. And that's to help each other with the word. Right, so part of that goodness is being able to help one another with the word. Like if someone is having trouble or they're overtaken in a fault, that part of that act of benevolence, that kindness and goodness that you show, is bringing them back to the right way of living and walking and believing. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. And again, these are in direct contrast to the works of the flesh that were described in the previous verses of Galatians, right? So these are like the opposites of those things, to be kind and to be good. And I thought this was really cool because 1 Corinthians 13, 4, it, you know, this is the charity, the love of God chapter. But it says in verse 4, charity suffers long and is what?
Kind.
It's patient and it's kind. Charity envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And then the goodness is kind of wrapped up in the next two verses, right? Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And so these three fruits are really kind of all wrapped up in love. In love, in the love of God, in renewed mind and manifestation. Love is these things. It's patient, it's kind, and it's good. It's actively benevolent. All right, back to Galatians 5. Flip over there with your ribbon or your finger or your pen cap. Verse 22 again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. All right? And faith is the word pistis, which we're very familiar with. It's the word for believe. So it can be translated believe, as it most often is. You can also interpret it here as constancy, faithfulness, trustworthy, or steadfast, right? And those are all sort of aspects of belief, right? If you believe something, you consider it trustworthy. You consider it steadfast. And so part of the fruit of the Spirit is a faithfulness. It's a firm standing. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And this isn't just strictly like being a trustworthy person, right? We'll get into that. It doesn't just mean, hey, you're an honest guy. I mean, that's a good thing to be. But it's a little bit bigger than that. It is a faithfulness. The 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Watch ye, be on the lookout, stand fast in the faith, quit or behave yourself, conduct yourself like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity or with love." Okay, and that's the same word there, stand fast in the faith, pistis. And it's to be, you know, alert, to be on the lookout, to be steadfast, to stand fast in the faith is what it is to have that faithfulness, right? It's a firm standing. It's being dependable both as a person and being faithful and committed in what you believe, right? And so it's kind of like this, I think out of all the attributes here, believe or pistis, faithfulness, it's a snowball effect, right? As we trust in the word and we believe it, it builds our believing in more of the word, right? As we see God work in our lives, it builds our confidence in him, and then we expect and see more of God working in our lives, right? And that's why, you know, believing is a manifestation of the Spirit, and it's also a fruit of the Spirit. It's something we manifest, and then it's something that we produce and grow in at the same time, which is pretty cool. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. So as we walk out on the word, as we live a more spiritual life, it helps to root us and grind helps us to be rooted and grounded in the belief that we have. And it builds that confidence and that trust. Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So trusting in God is a big part of that faithfulness. And as we do it, like I said, it just continues to compound and to build in our lives. That fruit becomes more and more evident as we continue to do it. All right, back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 23 this time. Galatians 5:23. The next fruit is meekness. Meekness. This is the Greek word proutis. Proutis. And this word is a gentleness, which is funny because it's one of the ones up above, which is actually kindness. But gentleness, humility, and grace, like a humbleness, right, is that meekness. So go to James chapter 1, verse 21. So part of the fruit of the Spirit, living a spiritual life, helps to build in us a meekness, a humbleness, a grace, and a humility. Right, which again is in direct contrast to pride, right, which is mentioned as one of the works of the flesh, being haughty. But James 1:21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity," which is excessively large amounts of something, lay apart all filthiness and excessively large amounts of naughtiness. It's one of my favorite verses. It just sounds kind of funny. But we're supposed to do that. Lay that aside. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Right? And that's a humility or an absence of pride. Receive the word with a great humbleness. Right? With grace is how we're supposed to receive the word. And that helps us to put aside all that other stuff. Right? We're able to lay aside that filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness because we're receiving with grace and with humility the word. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So it helps us to be a more gracious person, right? In our dealings with one another and in our attitude towards God. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. We saw this earlier. With all lowliness and meekness. Right? So, with that humility, with that meekness. So, God wants us to walk not only with patience and long-suffering, but with a humbleness and a graciousness. And those two things together, that humility and graciousness and that patience and long-suffering, is what builds that peaceful unity in the body. Right? That's what keeps it all together. Galatians 6, verse 1. So that's pretty cool. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of what? Meekness. The spirit of a gentleness or a grace. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Right? And this is specifically talking about reproving somebody, right? About restoring them back. Right? If they be overtaken in a fault, if they're, you know, not acting according to the word, how to bring them back. And it doesn't mean to be so gentle that you don't address the sin and the issue that the person's dealing with, right? You're not just looking the other way. I mean, that's gentle, but that's too gentle, right? If the person's not, you know, living their life the way they should be, or they're living it not according to the word, we're supposed to reprove them and get them back on track, right? So it's not to be so gentle that you just ignore it and don't address the issue, but it's with a mildness and with a loving and encouraging reproof that you bring them back, right? That's the way that we're supposed to do it. We're not just supposed to, like, fly off the handle again or yell at them and scream at them, but we sort of gently bring them back, right? That's that meekness, that mildness. Right? And the last one we're going to look at was temperance. Temperance. So go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. So the last fruit of the Spirit mentioned is temperance. Temperance is the Greek word enkratia, and it means self-control, restraint, or control over your passions. That's what it is to be temperate, to have self-control and restraint. And Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God which works in you. It is God who is at work in you, both to will, to want to, and to do, to carry out his good pleasure. So it's God who is at work in you. And self-control means that you're ready to follow his directions rather than what you want to do instead. Right? Because sometimes the things that we want to do instead, those are those passions and those things that we have to overcome, that we have to bring into control and restraint, right? So part of allowing God to work in you is to have that temperance, that self-control, to be like, well, I want to eat all the chocolate cake, but I don't, right? Because that's not what's best for me right now. Go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. This is what it is to have restraint. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of who?
Christ.
Right? So that's all about getting control of your brain, right? Getting control of your thoughts and your mind. That's part of what it is to be, to have temperance, to be temperate, is to have that restraint and that self-control, is to get control of your brain and your thinking and gear it back towards, bring it into captivity according to the Word of God, right? Bring every thought back to that. Because our brains will wander, and our brains will go to those things that, you know, the old man nature wants, those fleshly lusts and other things like that. But we have to have that self-control and that restraint to bring it captive. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Right? And again, the fruit of the Spirit, part of getting our heads into the Word, to walking spiritually, all these things become stuff that we manifest and that we exude, that we produce in our lives as we do that. So self-control is one of those things. If you feel like you can't get control of something, right, then get yourself into the Word more, right? Replace that stuff with what the Word says. Help you get control of it. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Right? That sounds like the old man nature, the flesh stuff. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge what?
Temperance.
Well, what's it a knowledge of? How to dig a hole? How to operate heavy machinery? How to cook a good stew? No. It's the knowledge of the Word, right? It's the knowledge of the Word. So knowledge of the Word leads to temperance, to self-control. And to temperance, patience. And the word patience, there isn't the word patience we looked at before. It's better translated perseverance. It's an overcoming, a perseverance, a victory, which is really cool. So the knowledge of the Word leads to self-control, and that self-control leads to an overcoming, a perseverance, and a victory. Really neat. And to patience, or that perseverance, godliness. And that's where we want to be, living a godly life, right? Living a life that's devoted to God and to walk in the way He wants us to walk. That's where it leads to. So we're going to close back in Galatians 5:22. So these are all things that we can manifest, that we can produce in our lives as we walk out on the Word and try to walk that spiritual life rather than according to the old man nature. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that means that there's no law that is against these things. Right? There is no law that is against those qualities. You're not going to find a law that says, please stop being kind. Please stop being patient. You're way too under control. Right. There is no law against those qualities. So these are things that we can do all the time and feel free to do in our daily lives.